Proverbs chapter 27, Bible reasons for success. Look at verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Number one, these great men like Brother Hiles and Tom Malone and Lee Robertson and Curtis Hudson. I was on the board at the Sword with Curtis Hudson, Lester Roloff, Carl Hatch, B.R. Lakin, Dr. John Rice, Dr. Bill Rice, those great men of God. I see that when I read chapter 27. I see them in this chapter. Point number one, the ability to give it your all each day. Give it your all each day. The scripture said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So give it your all each day. Each day is your life. In the morning when you wake up, it's like birth. At noontime, it's like midlife crisis. And then at night, you die and you go to bed. You've got one, you get your concordance down, look up the word daily in the scripture over and over and over again. You'll see the emphasis by God to us on daily and to live our lives every day for Him. I have no guarantee that I'll be around tomorrow, but I know I have today. And so you want to sit down and have a to-do list every this is not a sermon, I'm teaching now. Have a to-do list every day. Get your to-do list, write it down, and challenge yourself. Whatever you don't finish on that list, put it on top of the list for the next day. But get your life in order. Put your life on paper. Make sure that you, when I pastored, the deacons didn't tell me what to do. Nobody told me what to do but my wife. Don't laugh. but I have a daily to-do list. That was my challenge. I've got these things I've got to do today. And you challenge yourself with that. So number one, the ability to give it your all each day. Look at verse 2. Proverbs 27, 2. Let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Number two, die to self. Die to self. I could hear Dr. Lee Robertson thundering it. Die to self. Almost every sermon. Die to self. Die to self. Die to self. Now, we have egos and we have pride, and we're not careful. We'll let you cannot be in the ministry and serve God, serve others, or be a good Christian if you've got a big ego. It's not going to work. Not going to work. Let your work speak for you, not words. And if you'll let your work speak for you, you'll be able to compete against yourself and find yourself growing in the Lord. When the Bible says grow in grace, it does not say how much. Just grow. Just grow. And so, number one, the ability to give it your all each day. That's verse 1. Verse 2, die to self. Die to self. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips. Die to self. A dead man can't talk back. You die to self. You die to self. All right? A Bible reason for succeeding. Number one, the ability to give it your all. How often? Talk to me. How often? Each day. Come on, talk to me now. The ability to give your all your what? Each day. That's good. Number two, the ability to die to self. You've got to die to yourself. You've got to die to yourself. This church has been so good to me. I wish you knew this church like I know it. Wonderful. It's a family. And every Saturday at 3 o'clock, some poor God-blessed staff member takes me to the airport. And they say, can't you go at a decent hour? I said, that's a decent hour. I'm scared to death. Flights are going to, storms and all that kind of stuff. And or Biden's going to get back in. By the way, I am not Donald Trump. I was in North Carolina. This kid walked up and he said, we were just talking. He was a bus kid. You're Donald Trump, aren't you? I said, no, not Donald Trump. He said, well, we're worried because Donald Trump's going to send all the black people back to Africa. So that night I come back to church, same kid walked up. He said, are you sure you're not Donald Trump? I said, yes, I am Donald Trump, and I'm sending all the honkies back to Europe. Bible reason for succeeding. Number one, the ability to give it your all. How often? Each day. Louder. How often? Each day. How often? Each day. Have a to-do list every day. Challenge yourself. Don't put pen to paper. Put it in front of you and challenge yourself. I will give you 2 cents for anybody that didn't have goals. You've got to have goals, written down goals. Number two, the ability to die to self. You've got to die to yourself. I know family, they say, oh, you're a member of a cult. Don't pay any attention to what people say. This, that, and the other. And you're on that internet too much. These podcasts, you get away from these. Get back in the Word of God. Get back in prayer time and spending time with God. Go soul winning. Tell somebody how to be saved. Bible reads for exceeding. Number one, the ability to give it your all each day. All right, number two, the ability to die to self. Number three, look at verse 7, please. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. By the way, I have 65 points, 35 subpoints, 3 jokes, and 2 tear-jerking illustrations. Number three, the ability to never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. You have not arrived. You're always arriving. Always be arriving, but never arrive. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. Be your own competition. And when you do that, you'll find that you remember a kid, it'd be so hot out, and you'd come in, and we used to make sugar sandwiches or butter sandwiches, or I couldn't wait to get a hold of some water, drink some water. You're dying. But you want to always be the type, I'm always growing. I'm always doing more. When I go to pastor school, I would write down the challenges that Brother Howes gave us, and I want to be challenged. You ought to want to be challenged to do more. That's because you get out of bed, get up, get going, do something for God. All right? Bible reasons for succeeding. Here's a king talking to a son, not about how to be a king, but how to live a kingly life. Number one, verse one, the ability to give it your all each day, have a to-do list. Verse 2, die to self. Verse 7, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Never be satisfied. Be your own competition. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Number four, to stay through the storm. The ability, these great men stayed through the storm. When others quit, they kept on going. Got out of bed, went at it again. That's what you've got to do. You've got to never be satisfied and stay through the storms. I went to Longview Baptist Temple in August of 1980. Brother Roloff came, and he bought a full-page ad in the local paper, welcomed me to Texas. And on a Sunday night, he preached for me. And before he went out to preach, he said, "Now, Brother Gray, I'm going to get you 6 months." And I joked probably too much, and I kind of laughed. He didn't laugh. So I went out to the pulpit. I sat in my chair, and he started calling, "Hi, Joe, how you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you." And I sat there, and I said, "Good night." He knows everybody in this auditorium. And so he preached and went back to the office. I said, "Did you get me 6 months?" He said, "Seriously?" He said, "No, I got you 3. Whoa, this ain't good. So I laughed. And I went to pastor school in March. Now, from January, February, and March, our church split while I was away at pastor school. Came back, had 400 there when I went there, had 159 left. They went across town, started a church across town. They had a $5,000 offering, and mine was $2,250 with an $8,000 budget. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my goodness, he was a prophet. He knew what was going to happen. Then he wrote me a letter. And he said, "Brother Gray," he said, "in the storm, only dead branches fall off." I put a $100 bill in it and said, "Take your family out to eat." What a friend. 9 times up north, down south. What a great man of God he was, and what a dear friend he was to me and to my family. But he taught me, stay through the storms. Stay through the storm. I remember going into my office, into the bathroom. I was done. I was done. I sat on the only seat that's there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm crying. My wife knocked on the door. She said, "Honey, you all right?" I said, "No, I'm not all right." She said, "Well, you're going to have to come out sooner or later." I said, "It's going to have to be later because I ain't coming out now." And she said, "You better come out. Come out. We've got to get a hold of God." We got out. We laid on that floor, that office. I thought my whole world was over. And we begged God, pleaded with God. God gave me extra energy and got back up, got back into the battle. Oh, how I miss her. Stay through the storms. Are you going through some storms right now? Well, join the human race. All of us are going through it. You got to smile. And I think you ought to put on the new man. I think you ought to smile. You say, "You fake it." Well, fake it till you make it. But good grief, when you go before your people, you're going to have to be on top side. You're going to have to say, we're going to make this thing, but you yourself are going to have to settle that between you and God. that you can make it. You've got to settle that yourself. Bible reasons for succeeding. Number one, the ability to give it your all each day. You're doing good. Number two, the ability to die to self. Number three, the ability to never be satisfied. Don't ever be satisfied. Keep that challenge. Let that challenge be in front of you. Then number four, the ability to stay through the storms. Stick it out. A hurricane hits, and the safest place to be, this sounds strange, but it's right in the middle of the hurricane. They fly these Air Force planes in there, and they'll out like this, and then it gets in the middle, and it's calm as could be. When you decide, oh, I can't take it, you'll have to explain it the next place you go. And so you're going to relive it again. No, don't do that. Get right in the middle of that storm and say, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I used to have a 70-voice choir, 40-piece orchestra, and I'd get up against that back wall, and I would say, look, it's me and God. The rest of you can walk out if you want to. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to keep serving God. I'm going to get up in the morning and face the battle and go to work and win souls, do what I'm supposed to do. All right? Bible reason for succeeding. Number one, the ability to give it your all each day. Louder. Ability to give it your all each day. Every day. Every day. A to-do list. Number two, the ability to die to self. Number three, the ability to never be satisfied. Number four, the ability to stay through the storm. All right, take a look at verses 9, 10, and 11. Verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Number five, I suggest this, choose right in, the right influences. Choose the right influences. May I say to you, contemporaries are good for friendship, but not for power. Friends, I'm praying for you, love you. And he'll walk down the hallway. He's got something else on his mind. I suggest that you go to the great men of God of the past, reread their books, and find out the heart and the mind of those great men. Jack Treber has a podcast of great preachers of the past, all dead. Great men of God. Great men of God. I was at a church one time. They did a hall of fame. They took my picture, put it up in the hallway. Every year I'd go back. I had a bunch of pictures up there. And this picture was down. Next year, this picture was down. And I said, the pastor said, what do you think? I said, don't honor them till they're dead. I thought that was a good thought. Number one, the ability to give it your all each day. Number two, the ability to die to self. Number three, the ability to never be satisfied. Number four, to stay through the storms. Number five, to choose right influences. Read and reread the books of Brother Hiles, Dr. Rice, those great men of God, and you read. Listen to their sermons. I was listening to a sermon by Dr. Rice. I'm not sure what year it was, but the judgment, the last judgment of the unsaved. Oh, my goodness. It's powerful. Powerful. Those great men of God, you want to revisit them. You're listening too much to contemporaries. Forgive me, California people, but you're ruining our nation. The people that are pushing the agenda to the left in our world is just as bad as what it is in the politics world. I said, Bible reason for succeeding. Here's a king talking to his son. Not about how to be a king, but how to live a kingly life. And that's what God wants you to do. You're not in competition. We're not in competition with each other. Man, the deacons aren't your problem. The devil is. That guy across town is not your problem. The devil is. He's the one fighting you. He's your enemy. Now, win souls. Get people saved. Baptize as many as you can and put them in the pew and preach that devil out of them and lead them on to growth in the Lord. Bible reasons for succeeding. Number one, the ability to give it your all each day. Number two, ability to die to self. Number three, ability to never be satisfied. Number four, ability to stay through the storms. Number five, to choose the right influences. I've watched these men. I've ridden and preached with these men, sat with these men, listened to these great men of God. And they were just as human as you and I. And, oh boy, they loved life. They loved life. I remember Dr. Rice and Brother Hiles and Jerry Falwell sitting on a platform years and years ago in Murfreesboro. And Dr. Rice reached over to your daddy's shoe and untied the lace. It looked like that. Brother Howells looked down. He tied his shoe back up. And then Dr. Rice looked so innocent, you know. And he'd be like, untie that shoe. And I loved it. I loved it. There was something about it. We had a birthday party for him at a sword meeting one time. And they couldn't find Dr. Rice. And he was out playing hopscotch with some local boys and girls and having a good time. They said, you got to come. It's your birthday. Celebrate your birthday. He said, I'm not going anywhere until I give the gospel to these kids. And he stayed until he gave the gospel to them. These were great men, but they were great men who loved life and loved their families and loved what they were doing. If you hate what you're doing, you're killing yourself. It's not, look, get yourself a joke book. Good grief, you're too serious about yourself. All right, Bible reason for succeeding. Number one, the ability to give it your all. How often? Each day. Number two, the ability to die to self. Number three, ability to never be satisfied. Number four, ability to stay through the storms. Number five, ability to choose the right influences. Show me the books you're reading. And you're going to tell me all about your life. Number six, the ability to spot evil. Verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Doesn't say sin, says evil. Evil, pain, inflicting pain. I don't understand us why we want to kick somebody that's down. We don't shoot our wounded in the Army or the Marines or the Navy. We don't do that. But when it comes to our world, there's something about us. I don't know what it is. Salaciousness. You're just telling off on your carnality. If it's not salacious, you don't want anything to do with hearing what's being said. I want to hear a good thing, Philippians 4:8. I want to listen to good things. Now, I'm just saying to you, spot evil, where there's people inflicting pain on God's people. That's not right. That's not right. And you ought to have enough sense not to believe. What in the world are you doing? The guy's 45 years of age, and he's going to tell you all about Brother Hiles. 40 years of age, and he's got the goods on Lester Olof. Jerry Falwell and Brother Hiles were in a room. Jerry Falwell started saying something bad about Brother Olof. Brother Howell stood up and said, Jerry, not in this room, and he left. He's my friend. Well, it's bad. He said, I don't care what you think is bad. I know my friend. We were in Boston driving down the road, and the pastor said to Brother Howell, he said, see that big building up there? Yeah. He said, that's the biggest Baptist church in New England. And did you hear what the pastor did? Brother Howell said, no, I hadn't heard. Well, let me tell you. He said, no, I don't want to hear it. He said, well, you're going to hear it while you're here. It's the talk of the whole New England area. Well, he said, maybe it's all there, but not here. I'm not going to hear it. He said, now, Brother Howells, whether you want to hear it or not, you're going to hear it. He said, stop the car now. He said, Brother Gray and I will walk back to the airport. I said, well, you may walk back. And the pastor apologized and said, I'm sorry. Now, this isn't just speaking points. This is a way of life. A way of life. And you have no business. And how? No wonder your church is dying. You're spewing all. You don't believe everything they tell you. Now, when the scandal broke and I was attacking Brother House, I went straight to Sumner myself. Took two of my graduates and sat down and said, what are you doing? Put something on the table here. And he had nothing. Just all gossip. All it was. Now, don't be that way. Don't be that way. All right? Bible reasons for succeeding. Number one, the ability to give it your all each day. Talk to me now. Number two, the ability to die to self. Number three, the ability to never be satisfied. Be your own competition. Number four, the ability to stay through the storms. Number five, the ability to choose right influences. Contemporaries are nice to go out and eat with, but not to give direction in life. You could go to the old saints. Go to the, and reread the books that you read when you were on fire for God. Dr. Rice had come to Hiles Anderson, a book. He broke trouble. I bought every book he had. And I've spent my life reading. I've spent my life reading for Brother Hiles. Brother Hiles is still alive in his writings. And I said, number one, ability to give it your all each day. Number two, ability to die to self. Number three, ability to never be satisfied. Number four, stay through the storms. Number five, the ability to choose right influences. Number six, the ability to spot evil. Number seven, ability to choose right influences in writing. The ability to choose right influences in writing. I'm not going to sit and have you criticize my friends or my pastors or my friends of the past. I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to read the right kind of material, right kind of books. Be careful what you read. You got to read it, get it, your eye gate and your ear gate are two entrances to your mind, and you'll fill your mind with things it should not be filled with, and you'll regurgitate it, and you're going to hurt. The ability to choose right influences in writing. Number eight, the ability to work the same field. The ability to work the same field. Verse 18, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. As in water, face answers the face, so the heart of man to man. Verse 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. The ability to work the same field. Check it out. The great men of God that built great works stayed for long periods of time. Now, God prepared them sometimes in this church, but there was this 40-year span, this 50-year span of great success. And my wife said, oh, I want to buy this tree and put it in front. Okay, all right, bought the tree. Put it in the front yard. I guess maybe a few minutes later she said, I don't like that tree there. Would you move it over? Okay. Dug the tree up, put it over there. Months later she said, you know, it just doesn't fit there. And I said, what do you want? She said, I want that tree moved over there. I moved it over there. Then she come back, she said, you know, I'd like to put a little driveway in here and put a carport on the house, and that tree is going to be right in the middle of that driveway where I want it. Would you put it over there? Yeah, I'll do that. Guess what happened to the tree? It died. You can't keep transplanting and expect a tree to grow. You can't do it. Stay! Yeah. Noel Smith, the editor of the Baptist Tribune for the BBF, Brother Hiles, told me this story. He said, I was in Hammond, but I felt like maybe I'd made a mistake. He and Mrs. Hiles went to Springfield and preached the big BBF church there. Noel Smith was the editor of the Tribune. He asked Brother Hiles if he could take him to lunch on Monday. Went to lunch. They went to the cafeteria. Brother Hiles ordered. Noel Smith ordered. Brother Hiles was talking to Brother Smith. Noel Smith never said a word to Brother Hiles. Not a word. So they're about 20 minutes, and Noel Smith said nothing. So when they got ready to leave, Noel Smith stood up and slapped the table. Stay! Jack, stay! He said, food went everywhere. Went everywhere. And Noel Smith turned around and walked away. Now, Brother Howes did stay. And the great church that we love and we know about was built because he stayed. Some of you are thinking right now, quit and may knock on your door every Monday morning, but don't invite him in. Don't have breakfast with him. Don't do it. I said, number one, we're talking about Bible reasons out of Proverbs 27, king, talking to his son, not about how to be a king, but how to live a kingly life, right decisions. And number one, the ability to give it your all, how often? Each day. Number two, ability to die to self. Number three, ability to never be satisfied. Number four, the ability to stay through the storms. Number five, the ability to choose right influences. Number six, the ability to spot what? Evil. Pain. Stay away from it. Don't inflict it. You be someone. The Bible pattern is plus, negative, negative, plus. Reprove with all long suffering. You start out when you have a counseling with serious problem, you start out with something positive. Deal with what you got to deal with, but sandwich it in between hope. And when they leave, they ought to leave saying, we can make it. We can make it. That's the way you ought to preach. That's the way you ought to teach. Everybody ought to be left with hope. Everybody. Are you breathing? Are you alive? Well, there's hope. ability to choose to spot evil. Number seven, ability to choose right influences in writing. Very important. Very important. Somebody said one day, and I never thought about it, but said, Charles Spurgeon, you ought to read Charles Spurgeon's writing. Someone said to me, why don't we try reading what he read? I never thought about that. Now, I'm sure that some doctrinal things that might creep up, but be a reader. Be a reader. Somebody said to Brother Hiles, you know Bob Gray's preaching your sermons. He said, no, he's preaching Spurgeon's sermons. Tuesday at lunch, he'd write on a napkin his outline that he'd preached the day before and slide over there. And he said, God, go and preach that. Go and preach that. So I want you to know I've had permission. Bible reason for succeeding. Got to hurry. Number one, the ability to give it your all each day. Talk to me now. Number two, the ability to die to self. Number three, the ability to never be satisfied. Number four, the ability to stay through the storms. Number five, ability to choose right influences. Number six, ability to spot what? Evil, the ability, and change the subject. There's a tendency, and when it comes up, just changes. My wife and I had this agreement. If she started wavering off a little bit, I'd say, what's the weather forecast? That was, and she'd do it to me. I didn't like it when she did it to me. But number seven, the ability to choose right influences in print. Number eight, the ability to work the same field. We've got to hurry. Number nine, verse 24. Look at it, verse 24. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. Number seven, the ability to choose the right opportunity. The right opportunity. There are several forks in the road in your life that will change everything. That's why you've got Dr. Evans. My wife was Dr. Evans' secretary, chancellor of the college, got ready to leave. He took me to Ephesians, and he pointed out the evil day. And he said, the is a definite article in the English, which means there is a particular evil day that Satan's setting you up for. And he says, like a chess game, a chessboard. You get up, walk with God, talk with God, make your move. And Satan says, that's pretty good. I saw that before. Then he makes his move. You get up the next day, and, oh, God, help me. And you walk with God, spend time with God, and God talks to you, then you make your move for the evil day. And then Satan says, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I've seen that before. And he makes his move. But one day, you don't read your Bible, don't pray, don't talk to God. And the devil's salivating. And you make a stupid move. And Satan says, checkmate. I got you. Somewhere in here, you need to understand these moves that you're making just can't be made because of money, because of whatever it might be. I never asked what the salary would be when I went to two churches I pastored. I never asked. Never asked. The first church in Bourbon, Illinois, Jack Lewis was the treasurer, had two deacons. And the end of the first Sunday, my first Sunday, he's sitting in the secretary's desk counting the money. And I said, Jack, how'd we do today? He said, oh, it was a great day. People say, he said, it's just a great day. He said, best offering we've ever had. I'm wonderful. I said, what was the offering? He said, $600. I said, that's good. I said, what's the budget, Jack? He said, $900. Had 40 drive-in, 50 on the bus. So I shoveled snow, took care of lawns, took care of my family. What I was supposed to do, I did that. When I went to Texas, God was in that. I can't begin to tell you how wonderful that was in that decision. But I'm talking to people today, you're too apt to make a change without God stamping it, his approval. The ability to seize right opportunity. What would have happened if Brother House had not gone to Ammon? What would have happened if I had not gone to Longview Baptist Temple? I'm just saying to you, it's important that you understand, you cannot just flippantly make decisions. Now, counsels, you ought to have counselors. But when it boils right down to it, buddy, it's you and God. I said, number one, the ability to give it your all each day. Talk to me now. Number two, ability to die to self. Number three, the ability to never be satisfied. Number four, ability to stay through the storms. Number five, ability to choose right influences. Number six, the ability to spot what? Evil. Number seven, the ability to choose the right influences in what? Number eight, the ability to work the same field. The ability to seize the right opportunity. Number 10, the last point. Take a look. Start at verse 25. We're through. Verse 5. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself. And herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats for the price of the field. And thou shalt have goats milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. Number 10, the ability to live a simple life. The ability to live a simple life. I've been to 17 foreign countries. I'm so excited about Central South America sorting clinics. I was in Nicaragua, and I said to the pastor, what's your average man in your church? What's he make? He said $100 a month. I said, can we go visit some of your members? He said, yes. Tin roof, no door. Just three, you who travel know what I'm talking about. Just three walls and a dirt floor. I said, where do you work? He told me. How do you get there? I pedal my bicycle every day. And dust everywhere. I asked the lady, I said, you do laundry every day? She said, I have to. It's dust everywhere. Oh, my goodness. We're ruined. We're spoiled brats. You're living above your means. It ain't going to work. Learn to live a simple life. Brother House, what did he drive? The mail car. He'd go home, and the crazy, the wheels wobbled on the thing. He'd get it and drive home for lunch. Well, the house could have had just about anything he wanted, and he did. He had what he wanted. God wants to use you. I know this is not a thunderous sermon, a dynamic sermon, but, well, there's a lot of truth in that chapter. Here's a king talking to his son, not about how to be a king, but how to live a kingly life. In essence, he's saying, son, I don't want you to live for a position. I want you to live for a purpose. Get you a purpose. I want to win souls everywhere I go. I love people. I joke probably too much and cut up too much, but I love people. When I get on a plane this Saturday, I'm flying to Mexico. A guy sitting next to me, if he didn't want to be witness to, he shouldn't be sitting there. That is not my fault. Let him get his own travel agent. Somewhere in here, we need to get back to God's will, doing what God wants us to do, come hell, high water, to make a difference. I'm going to wake up in the morning and do what I'm supposed to do. God bless you. Fundamentalism should not be run from, but should be run to.